بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبرار عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: آية المنافق ثلاث، إذا حدث كذب، وإذا وعد أخلف، وإذا اؤتمن خان. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable Ulama Kiram, respected brothers and friends, we were discussing and talking about the importance of being true in one's speech, not to lie, to always be honest, transparent, and to speak the truth. That how greatly this is valued and treasured, not only in Islam, but in other religions as well. And a person who speaks lies, this has been severely condemned. The hadith which I just read out in the Nabi Karim Sa'am says that the sign of a hypocrite are three. Signs of a hypocrite are three. What are the three signs? The first one, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, that when he speaks lies. And the second sign of a hypocrite, that إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. And the third one, إِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانَ, that when he's given something, entrusted with something, then he betrays that trust. So in these three signs of a hypocrite also, the first one mentioned, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, when he speaks, then he speaks lies. This is one of the signs of hypocrisy. So it shows it's something that is really shunned and condemned, especially in our beautiful Sharia, in Islam, but also in other religions as well. Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi used to say that people come to me and complain that try as we may, we do not seem to be making headway as far as our amala concern, as far as our spiritual progress is concerned, we do not seem to be progressing. So as the Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say, that the solution to this problem is in this verse of the Holy Quran, the verse which I recited before you, when Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, that all you who believe, fear Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and speak only that which is right. In other words, speak only the truth. What will the benefit be by speaking the truth? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala will correct your amal, and Allah will forgive your sins. So the Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say that people complain that they are not making headway, spiritual progress. The answer is given and furnished in this verse of the Quran, that people ought to do some retrospection. Look over their past lives. Are they perhaps not cheating, deceiving their customers? Are they perhaps not being honest in their monetary dealings? Are they perhaps being untruthful in their speech, lying? If that is the case, then this is a cause for them not making spiritual progress. Because Allah Ta'ala has mentioned clearly that if you speak that which is right, correct, and the truth, then Allah Ta'ala will correct your amal. Allah will give you progress in your spiritual life. You will make headway. You will advance. And not only that, but Allah Ta'ala will forgive all your sins as well. So such a great advantage in speaking the truth and avoiding speaking lies. So as far as speaking truth is concerned, one is being true in one's speech. But another form of being true, which is also very important, that many a times, inwardly we make a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to carry out a certain action. So in making inward pledge, obviously Allah ta'ala, alimun bidhati sudur, He knows what is within our hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the pledge that we have made. So fulfilling that pledge also is part of being honest and part of being true. Many a time a person commences a new business, and internally he makes a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if this business is successful, if it flourishes, then I will take out 2% of my turnover every month and spend it in the path of Allah. So he makes this pledge, so he has to be true to this pledge. Initially it seems easy. For example, a person has a turnover of 10,000 rand in the first month. So 2% of that is 200 rands, not too difficult to discharge. But a few months go in this way, where his turnover is 10,000, he keeps spending 200 rands, and he sees a barakat in his business, and the business begins to thrive. Now he's making a turnover of 100,000 rands a month instead of 10,000. So 2% of that is now 2,000 rands, not only 200 rands. So this is now, like they say, when crunch time comes, then the cookie crumbles. That now he has second thoughts. That it was easy to spend 200 rands, but now I have to spend 2,000 rands, 10 times as much. Now that stinginess and miserliness takes over, and he doesn't want to spend. Allah Ta'ala has also mentioned this in the Quran and condemned it, that وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, people that make a pledge of this nature, that if we were given wealth, then we will spend in the path of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned these people, that there are people who make a pledge inwardly, in their hearts to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, that if Allah Ta'ala bestows us with rosy, with wealth, with sustenance, then لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ, then we will spend freely in the path of Allah, and we will become among the pious people. But then Allah Ta'ala says, in spite of this pledge, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ, when we give them our wealth, then they become stingy and miserly. And then وَتَوَلَّوْا, then they turn away from their pledge, وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, and they ignore it totally, as if they never made a pledge. So this also is a form of dishonesty, that we make a pledge to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to do something, and then we backtrack on that pledge. We do not fulfill the pledge. So this person that saw that barakat in his business should have done a bit of retrospection and pondered for a while that perhaps the barakat I am seeing, that turnover of 10,000 has increased to 100,000 because I was spending the 200 rands monthly in the path of Allah. But now because he has spent 2,000 rands, he becomes miserly. Whereas what is becoming of a Muslim is that لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you show your gratitude, Allah Ta'ala says, we will increase for you. So if out of gratitude he continues to spend, even though he has to spend the 2,000 rands, he should spend it. Allah will show him barakat. But when a person becomes miserly, then he begins to lose out. Because ahadith tell us that Allah Ta'ala has deputed a certain farishta that makes dua for people who spend in the path of Allah, that Allahumma a'ati munfiqan khalafa, that O Allah, those who spend in your path, grant them something in replacement, let their wealth be replaced, let them see barakat in their sustenance. On the other hand, Allahumma a'ati mumsikan talafa, another farishta makes baddua and curses the person who holds back his wealth, that O Allah, destroy this person's wealth. So by spending in the path of Allah, fulfilling that inward pledge, being honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will see that barakat and that blessing in his business, in his sustenance. So this also is a form of honesty, that when you make an inward pledge, to fulfill that pledge and not to backtrack on that pledge, this also is something important in the life of a Muslim and something not to be disregarded whatsoever. Sometimes a person, when he feels that by being honest, apparently he sees some type of loss. But in the long run, he will profit. He will definitely benefit. This is the promise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like for example, in this case, if that person had to spend the 2,000 rands to fulfill the pledge, it is as if now monthly he is taking out 1,800 rand extra. He used to give 200, he is taking out 1,800 rands extra. So apparently there is a sort of a loss, more money going out of his pocket, but in terms of barakat, in terms of blessing, he will see that little go a longer way that he earns for the pleasure of Allah while spending for the pleasure of Allah, he will see it go a much longer way. This Allah has promised in the Quran too. مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. That the example, similitude of those people who spend their wealth in the path of Allah is like a person who plants a single seed. Then the seed begins to sprout and 7 ears ensue from there, and each ear of that plantation contains 100 seeds, 100 grains. So 7 times 100, in other words, spending, let's say, 1 rand in the path of Allah, a person gets the equivalent of spending 700 rands. It is multiplied 700 times. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Then there is no limit end to my resources. Allah Ta'ala reward as Allah Ta'ala seems fit. According to that person's sincerity, Allah will reward him limitless and in such quantity that is beyond even human comprehension. And the same thing mentioned in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. That when a person spends in charity, it does not decrease his wealth. In terms of quantity, he may see a decrease, but in terms of quality, there is always an increase, there is barakat in that. So that is why sometimes by being truthful, a person sees an apparent loss, but in the long run, in the akhirat, reward is being deposited, and in the world too, Allah Ta'ala shows him a great amount of barakat. If we study the hadith, we read about certain sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that in a moment of weakness, a certain sahabi, a sahabiya, a lady also, after all, everyone is human, and besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, we are not free of sin. So a sahabi in a moment of weakness, he happened to commit zina, he committed adultery. Now you must know, these people are living in a Darul Islam, an Islamic country governed by Islamic penal law and Islamic code of punishment. So this sahabi was a married sahabi, and in a moment of weakness, he committed zina with a certain lady. So look at the level of iman of the sahaba, that he came forward to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he admitted, he confessed to having committed that zina, where the Islamic penal law demands in this case that the person is stoned to death. So he knew that he's putting his life on the line, but in spite of that, he knew that if I confess, admit to the crime, if the punishment is meted out to me in this world, and I get the tawfiq and the guidance to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah I will have a clean slate for the akhirat. This sin will be forgiven. Allah will not take me to task in the akhirat. So he came forward and confessed, admitted. This requires a great deal of guts and courage. It is not something easy when a person knows that he's going to be stoned to death. Yet he admits, he confesses, and comes to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the punishment is meted out to him. He is stoned to death. After he passes away, when the punishment is executed, some sahaba pass some inappropriate remark. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then rebukes them and tells them that you do not know the condition of this person. Allah has revealed to me by wahi that he has made such a fabulous tawbah that لَقَدْ تَابَ تَوْبَةً لَوْ تَابَهَا أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ لَقُبِلَ مِنْهُمْ أَيْلَا وَسِعَتْهُمْ. That this person has made such a tremendous tawbah and repentance that if the entire inhabitants of Madinah Munawwara had to make this sort of tawbah, this tawbah would have been sufficient to encompass all the sinners of Madinah Munawwara. Such a great tawbah, such a great repentance. So outwardly there was some harm. He was putting his life on the line. He was putting his life forward to be stoned, to be executed. But in the long run, Nabi Sa'asim gave glad tidings that inshallah his tawbah has been accepted in the court of Allah to the level that it would have been sufficient for all the sinners of Madinah Munawwara. On one occasion, a certain person came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was inclined towards Islam. So he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I wish to recite the Shahada enter the fold of Islam. But there are three habits that I have developed which are difficult for me to leave in totality. Three evil acts that I carry out, that I perpetrate. I cannot leave all three simultaneously. So you advise me that which of the three should I leave? So Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said to him, recite the Shahada and then we'll sit and talk. He recited the Kalima, enter the fold of Islam. And then Nabi Kareem Sa'asim asked him, that what are the three habits that you have? So he said, the one habit I have is of speaking lies. The second habit is of committing zina. And the third is of stealing. I am a thief as well. So which of these habits should I leave? I cannot leave all three simultaneously. One by one, I will try and take these habits out of my life. So Nabi Kareem Sallam said to him, okay, leave out speaking lies. So initially he thought to himself that this is the most simplest habit to leave of the three compared to committing zina and stealing from people, just to stop speaking lies. So he went home happily, new Muslim. When he went home and began to analyze what Nabi Sallam had said to him, he thought to himself that if I go out to steal from someone and then I appear in front of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and someone accuses me of that theft, then I will have to speak the truth. I have given a commitment to speak the truth. If I will speak the truth and confess to the theft, my hand will be chopped off. So instead of my hand being chopped off, rather let me not steal. Because I will have to speak the truth that I have stolen, with the result that my hand will be cut off. And if I go out and commit zina, in that case, if I am questioned about this, then I will have to speak the truth that yes, I have committed zina. And if I am a married person, I will be stoned to death. If not married, then 1,000 lashes, that will also be a grave and serious punishment. So then I will have to speak the truth and face this punishment. So rather let me leave out zina as well. So just by leaving out speaking lies, automatically he left out committing zina and left out stealing as well. Look at the wisdom of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look how important it is to speak the truth. That by speaking the truth, a man is able to discard many other evils. The hadith which I recited after Asr, that alaykum bis sidq, fa inna sidq yahdi lal birr, wa inna al birr yahdi lal jannah. That always speak the truth. Truth leads a person to other virtue, and that virtue then leads a person, inshallah, to Jannat. So tremendous benefit in speaking the truth. And this was the wisdom of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another person came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said he wishes to enter the fold of Islam, and he also had the habit of committing zina. He said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can I recite the Shahada, even though I am not able to leave this habit? So Nabi Sallam said to him, that this habit you have should not deter you from reciting the Shahada. So you come to me, recite the Kalima, enter the fold of Islam. He recited the Shahada, became a Muslim. Then Nabi Sallam put him in front of him and posed a few questions to him. That tell me, would you like someone to commit zina with your mother? Obviously he said no. Nabi Sallam asked him, would you want someone to commit zina with your sister? He said no. Then Nabi Sallam asked him, that would you desire that someone commits zina with your daughter? He said no. So then Nabi Sallam explained to him, that think carefully. The next time you commit zina, or you have the urge to commit zina, that woman you are sleeping with is either someone's mother or someone's sister, or someone's daughter. So أَحِبَّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا يُحِمَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ. That just as you do not desire someone committing zina with your mother, sister or daughter, you should not commit zina with someone else's mother, sister or daughter. That struck a chord within him, and immediately he made tawbah from this habit of committing zina. This was a tact and a wisdom of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his advices, people would be rightly guided. How important it is to speak the truth. On one occasion, Hazrat Muhammad Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, many of our elderly people have seen him sat in his company. I was not among those fortunate people. In the 60s, he migrated from India to Madinah Munawwara. Our more elderly people were even bad to Muhammad Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, a great wali of Allah. On one occasion, he received a letter from one of his murids, and the murid writes to him, explaining to him about the passing away of his mother. So Hazrat Muhammad Alam Sahib Rahmatullah, in his old age, he would dictate the letters to his son, Maulana Aftab Alam, who also now is deceased. So while dictating the letter to him, Hazrat Muhammad Alam Sahib Rahmatullah writes to the murid that I heard about the poor passing on of your mother, and I'm very sad about this. He used the term, I'm very sad, very grieved. But after dictating this sentence, he paused for a little while. And he began to reflect, to ponder. So his son also was perplexed that while dictating the letter, all of a sudden, why did my father stop for a little while and pause? And now he says, okay, continue writing. So he asked his father. So Hazrat Muhammad Alam Sahib Rahmatullah said to his son, that when I made you write the words, the sentence, I am very sad at the demise of your mother, I had to do a bit of introspection, analyze my heart, that grief is to do with the heart, the condition of the heart. Am I really very sad, or am I just merely sad? It's two different things, to be sad about something and to be very sad about something. So he says, when I looked into my heart and I realized that yes, I am very, very touched and very sad about the passing on of this person's mother, so then I allowed you to continue to write. If I felt that I am sad and not very sad, I would have asked you to omit the word very and just put that I am sad. Look at the honesty of these people, our pious predecessors. Look at the truth they had in their speech and in their words. This is something for us to emulate. On one occasion, a certain ustaz, a teacher, just to illustrate how important honesty is, a certain teacher said to his students, that today I'm giving each of you a chicken, a live chicken. Go home and slaughter the chicken, but look for a place to slaughter the chicken where no one can see you. So they all went home, each taking the one chicken. Some went behind a tree to slaughter the chicken, where there was no one present. Someone went on top of a mountain to slaughter the chicken. Someone went into the middle of the desert to slaughter the chicken. And so forth, different places. When they all returned next day to the classroom, so the teacher asked them, each one of them, where did you go and slaughter the chicken? He saw the chickens are slaughtered. This one said behind a tree, someone said on top of a mountain, someone said in the middle of the desert. But he noticed one of the children did not slaughter the chicken. He brought it back alive. So he asked him, then why did you not slaughter the chicken? So he said, sir, you said to us that you must slaughter the chicken where no one can see you. So I went behind a tree on top of a mountain in the middle of the desert. I could not find a single place where someone is not watching me. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is omnipresent. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. It is impossible to slaughter the chicken at any such place where Allah is not watching over us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. The teacher was very, very impressed at the honesty of the child and at the piety of the child, that the child was conscious of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us at all times, in all places. So when a person is conscious of that, it will become easy for him not to speak lies and to speak the truth at all times. In a certain country, the emperor of the king was about to abdicate his throne. He had reached an old and senile age. He was looking for a worthy successor. He had no sons, so he looked around the kingdom and he found about 12 potential candidates that could be suitable for the post of becoming the next king, the next emperor. So he called these 12 people to his court, to the palace, and he gave each one of them a seed. And he said to them, go and plant the seed and let it sprout and grow some beautiful trees and bring it to show to me. The one who grows the most beautiful tree, he will become my successor. So they all went, and someone grew a beautiful tree, with beautiful blossoms on it. Someone's tree had already begun to give some fruit. Because over a period of time, he gave them the grace to plant these trees. One of these 12 young men went home and try as he may, the seed that he used and planted into the pot, into the sand, could not sprout. It could not grow anything. So he asked his mother to assist him. They watered the plant, they watered it, yet it would not sprout, nothing grew. So he became dejected when the time had run out, the cut off time, and they all returned to the palace, to the emperor, to the king. He saw that everyone had grown beautiful trees. These people will become the next successor, become the next emperor. I was unable to grow anything whatsoever. So out of embarrassment, he sat at the back of these 12 people, he hid behind them. So when the king saw all the trees, the beautiful plants they had grown, and he noticed one skulking, hiding behind, he asked him, "Why are you hiding away? Let me show what you have grown in your pot." So he came forward, admitted that as much as I tried, I was unable to grow anything, I was unsuccessful. So then the king announced to the people that, "Welcome your new emperor." And he called this young man forward and said, "He will succeed me, he is the new emperor." People are obviously surprised that how did he become the new emperor. Then the king, the emperor, explained to the people that the seed that I gave to each of you was a boiled seed. It could never sprout anything. It could never grow anything. All of you have been dishonest that because your seed could not grow anything, you dumped that seed and it took another seed and grew trees here. This was the only honest and truthful person. He admitted that the seed could not sprout, could not grow anything. So being honest, he is worthy of being my successor and becoming the next emperor. So this is the benefit of speaking the truth in the hadith. Nabi Karim Sallam warns us that هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَىٰ مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ وَالْسِنَتِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَىٰ سَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ, that will anything else throw the people headlong into the fire of Jahannam except the harvesting of their tongues? In other words, the wrong that was spoken with the tongue, whether it is lies, whether it is backbiting, whether it is verbally abusing someone, whatever the case may be, people will be taken to task for their verbal utterances, and many people will be thrown headlong, upside down into the fire of Jahannam because of the wrong utterances of the tongues, because of the lies they spoke, because of the deception, because of the backbiting, because of the slandering, because of the swearing. All these things will lead a person to doom in the akhirat. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he had a habit at night, in the still of the night, he would walk through the alleys and the gullies of Medina Munawwara and attend to the needs of his needy subjects. If anyone was in problems, he would try and alleviate their problems. One night as he walked past a certain household, late in the night, he overheard the conversation between a mother and daughter. The mother was a widow. This was her daughter. Her father had passed away. The husband of the house was no more. So in order to earn a living, they used to sell full cream milk. They had some goats, they used to milk them and sell the milk in the marketplace. So that morning, for some reason, the goats yielded a bit of less milk. It was not sufficient to fulfill the orders for the day, selling the full cream milk. So the mother is telling the daughter that, "No problem, just add a bit of water into the milk. The customers will be none the wiser. We can advertise it as full cream milk, sell it, still earn our money, earn our income." So the daughter tells to the mother, they did not hear the ordinance passed by Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, that people who sell full cream milk in the bazaars, in the marketplace, must not adulterate it with water. If it is advertised as full cream milk, it must be full cream milk. Do not deceive the customers. The daughter is telling the mother. So the mother begins to remonstrate with the daughter and tells her that, "How will Umar Farooq know? He is not here. He will not be aware of the fact that we are mixing water with the milk." But yet they were unaware that Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala is overhearing the conversation from outside. So he told one of his assistants, one of his aides, that make a note of this house, the address, and in the morning bring this mother and daughter to my court, to the where the Amir al-Mu'mineen sits. So in the morning they were summoned. Hazrat Umar Farooq Radhiallahu Anhu brought it to their notice, especially the mother. He reprimanded the mother that, is this the way that you conduct your business, cheating, lying to the customers, telling them it is full cream milk, and yet it is adulterated with water, mixed with water. This is unbecoming of a Muslim. Reprimanded her, gave her, so to say, the proverbial figurative rap on the knuckles. But he was very impressed with the piety of the daughter, the truthfulness, the honesty of the daughter. So much so that he extended a marriage proposal for one of his sons. Eventually she accepted the proposal, and that young girl got married to one of the sons, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. From that marriage was born a daughter, and from that daughter was born Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi. In other words, this young girl who was so honest, she became the nani, the maternal grandmother of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi. Because of her honesty in her progeny, Allah ta'ala gave her children of the caliber of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi. So yet we can see the importance of honesty, speaking the truth and avoiding dishonesty. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sa'azam said to us that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anuma, that arba'un law kunna fika, fama alayka ma fataka min ad-dunya, hifzu amanatin, wa sidqu hadithin, wa husnu khaliqatin, wa tu'fatun min iffatin. Aw kama qala li salatu sallam. Then, O Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anuma, there are four good characteristics, four good traits, that if these characteristics can be created, inculcated within you, then you will have no worry that even if the rest of the world has to pass you by, if you have to lose the world and entire contents of the world, but you possess these four sublime qualities, you have nothing to worry about. What are the four qualities? Hifzu amanatin. That if someone entrusts you with some valuables, not to betray the trust, not to make breach of trust. And the second thing, sidqu hadithin, which is related to our topic, to be true in one's speech, to always speak the truth and not to speak lies. And the third characteristic, husnu khaliqatin, to have upright and correct morals, to have good character. And fourthly, wa tu'matu min iffatin, to make sure that whatever you consume is always halal, to avoid what is haram, in fact even to avoid what is doubtful, only consume that which is halal. So if you carry out these four and imbue yourself with these four qualities, then you do not have to worry even if the entire world and the contents of the world pass you by. You are in benefit, you are profiting as far as the akhirat is concerned. So yet to Nabi Sallam emphasized what the other three qualities, sidqu hadithin, to be true in one's speech. So this is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of imbuing ourselves with this great quality of speaking the truth and always being truthful and honest. Just to illustrate also how important speaking the truth is, just to end off with this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, who is the imam that most of us follow, in his lifetime, people were still very much religiously inclined, truthful in their speech. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi passed the verdict and the ruling that when a plaintiff appears in an Islamic court of law and he makes a claim against the defendant, in order to prove the claim he has to furnish a minimum of two witnesses, two male witnesses, or one male and two females. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, because he lived in an era when people were still truthful, honest, Imam Sapar's verdict, the judge looks at the outward appearance of the witnesses of that plaintiff, that they have a beard, they are dressed in Islamic apparel, they look outwardly righteous and pious, then the judge can be confident that these witnesses will give an honest testimony, they will not give false evidence, they will speak the truth, and on the weight of their testimony, the ruling will be made in favor of the plaintiff, the person making the claim. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, the judge has to merely satisfy himself with the outward appearance of the person. If outwardly he looks righteous, pious, then inshallah he will not speak a lie. But not many years passed by. Imam Sahab's two famous students, Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullahi, Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi. When Imam Sahab left the world, they still lived in the world. These were his students, they were younger. And they already saw the times changing. That in Imam Sahab's time, Imam Sahab said the judge can satisfy himself with the outward appearance of the witnesses, which is known as Zahiri Tazkiya, Zahiri Ta'dil. Apparent outward appearance to satisfy himself that they will speak the truth. But Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, not many years had passed and they already saw a change in people. That now people with big beards, with Islamic apparel, outwardly that holier than thou attitude, reading salah in the first saf in a masjid, yet they turn out to be the biggest liars on the face of earth. Deceiving their customers in the shops, cheating their customers, being dishonest in their dealings. So Imam Yusuf Rahmatullahi and Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi then found the need to alter the ruling of the ustaz, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi, and they said that now it is necessary for the judge to do batini tazkiyah. Batini tazkiyah means to do a complete screening of the witnesses before the judge considers the witnesses to be reliable. And for that, the judge needed to postpone the case. He would merely inquire from the plaintiff, who are your witnesses, give their names, their addresses. When this was furnished, then the judge would have special so-called, what we would term in today's lingo, as CIDs, private investigators, known as Muzakki Mu'addil. They would be handed the names of the two witnesses, and then very discreetly, without the witnesses knowing, they would go to the locality where the witnesses reside and look at their dealings with their fellow men in the bazaars. Are they dealing honestly or dishonestly? These CIDs would even attend the masjid where these people live in that locality to see this person even sometimes found in the masjid or not. Do we see him performing salah there or not? After this CID, these CIDs, these people, private investigators, would satisfy themselves that yes, they are punctual with their salah. We have seen their monetary dealings, they are honest. Speaking to people, they are truthful. Then they would give a positive and a favorable report to the judge that you can accept the evidence of these witnesses. Then the case would resume on the day up to which it was postponed and the witnesses would be allowed to give the evidence and the ruling would be in favor of the plaintiff. But if a negative report had to come in, then these people have beards, they wear kurtas, they have Islamic apparel, they are in the first of salah. But in the shops we found them, that if a customer comes into the shop and he wants a size 8 shoe, because he does not have a size 8 shoe, he sends the worker at the back, they take a box that has a size 9 on it, very easy with the floor marker, just alter that 9 into an 8, and deceive the customer that he has a size 8 shoe. So no matter how outwardly pious he may be, that holier-than-thou attitude, in spite of that deceiving the customers, lying to people, dishonesty, the monetary dealings, if a negative report came to the judge would not even be prepared to listen to the testimony of those witnesses. In that case, in terms of Islamic law, the defendant would be asked to take an oath that the claim of the plaintiff is incorrect. If he takes the oath, the ruling would be in favor of the defendant. So this, we are talking about the era of Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi. In this age of corruption, unfortunately, many incidents we witness where people so-called regard as upright and pious in the community turning out to be the biggest liars and the people that most deceive their customers. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. So that is why very, very important, especially in this age of corruption, where I mentioned after Asartu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave one of the signs of Qiyamah, that a time will come, فَيُقَالْ إِنَّ لَفِي بَنِي فُلَانٍ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا. That a time will come that to look for an honest person will be like looking for a needle in a haystack. People will point to a certain town, that in that faraway town, in a certain family, there is still one single honest person. So we are coming to that time and age. So it is very important for us to make fikr, to do our self-reformation, to stay in the company of the pious, to go into a deeni environment. When we're in a deeni environment, then it will become much easier. That environment will be conducive for us to make spiritual progress and to rectify ourselves with regard to these type of characteristics that are regarded as rotten characteristics. We have to aim for those ideals that are beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Avoid all the spiritual maladies, whether it is speaking lies, jealousy, hatred, arrogance, pride, whatever the case may be, and to inculcate the good qualities in us, compassion, mercy for our fellow humans, speaking the truth, being honest, being sincere. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, and Allah Ta'ala inshallah through His grace may imbue us with the sought after and the desired characteristics that are encouraged in our beautiful Shariat of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. For next month's majlis inshallah, at the beginning of the month, the 3rd of Rajab, which will probably coincide with the 3rd of May as well. 3rd of May is a Saturday. So that will be our next majlis. And inshallah, those who are sleeping over are welcome to stay over. In the morning, our dhikr majlis before Fajr will be at 5 a.m. inshallah. Because Adhan is taking place at 5:30 from tomorrow morning. So half an hour before the Adhan, inshallah at 5 o'clock in the morning, we will have our dhikr majlis, the morning majlis, as usual. Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala inshallah give us the guidance and the ability and the tawfiq of inshallah sitting in the company of the pious, reading up the sawane, the biographies of the pious people, so that we can also emulate them and come closer to the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and gain that marifat, that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.